Tape recorded message number TL-449. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 5. We begin our study with the first verse of the fifth chapter. When we first look at the book of Joshua, it seems like more or less a simple historical record. But when one attempts to expound it, he finds out that he is beset with a great number of questions that cannot be answered, great many problems that cannot be solved, great many difficulties that cannot be cleared up. Just recognize that. And also recognize that because of the fact that we cannot take the past and set it down in the present, as if people have always acted as we act, or people always do as we have done, that is not true. You're going back here 3,500 years from the time in which we live, and inasmuch as anyone that's even lived 70 years or 75 or 80 years realizes the changes that took place in his lifetime, he realized that many things that seem to fit today and even be proper today were not fitting and not proper back in the days of his childhood or in the days of his youth. And if that is true over a period of 75 years, then think what it would be over a period of 3,500 years. So let us not try to judge the customs or the actions of these people by any situation that we face today. Well, with that word of introduction, let's begin with the first verse of the fifth chapter. Here we read, "It came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, when they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel." Their courage was gone, their determination was gone, their will to defend their own land was gone. This all happened when they heard how simple and easy it was for Israel to cross Jordan when God had piled up the waters and had caused them to come over on dry land. Now, once they had crossed the river, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, "Make these sharp knives." These were made of flinty stone, and he was ordered to make sharp knives and circumcise again of children of Israel the second time. Now, this second time does not mean that it was repeated in the case of the individual, but it simply means that this was the second great celebration of this work. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. That would seem as if this was only a physical description, but in the word it is Gibeath, which is the name of a place, and Ha'ar-Aloth, which could mean foreskin, and this became the name of the place where Joshua ordered the circumcision of all Israelites. Now the explanation is given, beginning with the fourth verse, that this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt, that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. That is, all the men of the males, they died on the way to Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised. All of those that came out of Egypt were, But all the people were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, and them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, that Yahweh, unto whom Yahweh sware, that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. So they were not to see it or to enjoy any portion in it. They simply died on the way. Now their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. This which was usually taken care of and arranged by the fathers, but the fathers of these could either have been dead before they were born, not before they were conceived, but could have died before they were born, or it was simply neglected afterwards. And so they had not circumcised them by the way. Of course, they were traveling all the time, and that made the taking care of this rather difficult. Now it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were made whole. On the other side of Jordan, where they now are, from what we saw them in the earlier chapters, the beginning of the book, they remained right there, each one in their places in the camp, until they were whole. Well, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Any relationship with or connection with Egypt was all done for. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. This signified, of course, a rolling. Gilgal meant a rolling. And So they gave this name the place because the reproach of Egypt was rolled away from them. So the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month. This, of course, would be the 14th day of Nisan. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho, outside the city, of course. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the same day. Now, of course, the people, already having abandoned this, I mean the Canaanites already having abandoned this site, because this was a livable place, and the people would find abundance of old corn in all the deserted granaries of these affrighted inhabitants. And the barley harvest being ripe, after offering the sheep of first fruits, they also ate new parched corn. Now, this ceased after manna being no longer less necessary. This ceased. It was sent to them regularly for almost 40 years. But now that this is over with, and they ate the new corn of the land, verse 12, the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. This which had sustained them and maintained them for 40 years is now gone. They no longer needed it. And they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And verse 13, it came to pass, and we must link these verses up with the sixth chapter, for really the portion ends at 12, and we begin a new portion here. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes. He looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, are you for us? Are you one of us? Or are you for our adversaries, our enemies? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Joshua takes the place of submission to this one, and says, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now we continue right on. This appearance of this captain of the Lord's host had to do with what was going to happen to Jericho. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. The gates were closed. This was a walled city. All the gates were closed. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Just march around the gates and do it, and do this for 6 days. Now, 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpet of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. Once each on the first 6 days, but 7 times on the 7th day. Then the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when ye make a long blast with the ram's horn, when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. You'll not need to go around anything. All you'll have to do is to walk over the rubble, but the people shall ascend every man straight before him. But Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest, said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, You pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord, and blew the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rear reward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day that I bid you shout. Then shall you shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. They came into camp, and they lodged in the camp. And the next morning Joshua rose early in the morning. The priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the priest bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually, and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear reward came before the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once, and then they returned into the camp, and so they did 6 days. And of course what they're doing is making the people of Jericho wonder, making them exceedingly nervous, and they're feeling all the more the distress of this mysterious thing, of these men simply marching around the city, but no attack is made. And they did this for 6 days. 6 days they went around it. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day. They kept compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. 7 times they marched around it, all the more mysterious to the inhabitants of Jericho, the more creating fear and wonder and consternation at what they're doing. So they marched 7 times around the city. Now it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. You've got something to shout about. Now shout, because the Lord has given you the city. And the city shall be a curse, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves in the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed, when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and trouble it. This was all severed to the Lord, and if they took any of it and brought it into the camp, then they would bring a curse upon Israel, and they would cause great trouble. All the silver and the gold, the vessels of brass and iron, are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, following the one who was ahead, and they took the city. And the elderly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. This was the punishment of God upon this city. You see, these Canaanites were ripe for destruction. They had so lived, and they had so acted, only at the present time, it seems, due to the excavations that are being made, are we learning very much about the awful immorality, and especially the frightful sexuality that existed among these people. And they were ripe for destruction. And God saw fit, instead of destroying them by a pestilence or a famine or an earthquake, that he would use the Israelites as the executioners of his own vengeance. You see, he could have sent an angel to slay them, and of course, if he had done so, I doubt if anyone would have charged this angel with iniquity or cruelty. And, of course, in all public calamities, when you have these public calamities, infants are involved. And tens of thousands of infants die in great agony every year. So God was the agent of these calamities. There are many calamities that fall, great earthquakes and great floods, but God is not the agent of them. But God was the agent of this. And we would not dare to say that he was not. And so it is not ours to criticize God or to judge God. It is just simply ours to take the record and to believe the record. So every living thing was put to the edge of the sword. Now, verse 22. Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in. They brought out Rahab, her father, and her mother, her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver, the gold, the vessels of brass and iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel, even unto this day, because this was probably written soon afterwards. She was still alive and dwelling there that day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout the country. Now, the word adjured there would be taken, I judge, as a prediction. And the prediction was that the one who rebuilt the city would lose his children in the interim. And between the laying the foundation and the completion of the walls, that all of his children would pass away. That was the prediction. A little hard to understand, but that is what we see in it from a little more careful study. So verse 27, the Lord was with Joshua, and his name, his reputation, his fame, rather, was noise throughout all the country. It's well known. It passes from mouth to mouth, family to family, and ruler to ruler, and throughout all the country. The name of Joshua is feared. Chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. The most direct prohibition had been given against this, but someone violated it. Always somebody that thinks that they can get away with something. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up, and they viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua, and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. In other words, we can easily take this city of Ai. There are very few there, and 2,000 or 3,000 will be enough to do it. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now, the very spirit within them, they just lost all their enthusiasm for this, just because of this setback. Well, Joshua rent his clothes, and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust upon their heads. The rending of the clothes and the putting of dust upon the head was the great symbol in Israel of humiliation and of grief and of sorrow over something that has taken place. Now, verse 7, Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan, to deliver us in the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? Now, what do we say? What do we think? Verse 9, For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ, that is, circle us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? What will happen here? Well, we read that the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my commandment which I commanded them. For they've taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and they've dissembled also. They put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were a curse. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies, until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to families thereof. Of course, only the heads of the tribes would need to come, and then one tribe would be selected. And the family which the Lord shall take, then shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. This is being narrowed down to where you get the men of a household that come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he's wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua did as he was told. He rose up early in the morning. He brought Israel by their tribes. The tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites. He brought the family of the Zarahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. Joshua said unto Achan, My son, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Well, Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver is under it. So Joshua sent messengers. They ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all they had, brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire, and after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised up over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor to this day. And the word Achor is a Hebrew word that means trouble. And this was really called the Valley of Trouble, or the Valley of Tribulation, or the Valley of Distress. And this name has great bearing upon the time of tribulation which Israel someday will face and will be entirely equal to it. Now, they've got the iniquity out of the camp, so we come to chapter 8, and we read that the Lord said unto Joshua, Now fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou did unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose, and all the people of war to go up against Ai. Now, Joshua chose out 30,000 who were mighty men of valor, and he sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city, and go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass, when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them. But this is only a gesture, as you will see. They will flee before them, for they will come out after us. and we'll flee till we have drawn them from the city. And they will say, they flee before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up in the ambush, seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hands. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the command of the Lord should ye do. See, I have commanded you. And of course his command was the command of the Lord. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush, and they abode between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh. They came before the city and pitched. They got ready for battle on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai and on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night in the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, he hasted and rose up early. The men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all the people, at the time appointed, before the plain. But he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them. And so they fled by the way of the wilderness, and wanted to draw them out of the city. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua, and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai, or Bethel. They went not out after Israel. And they left the city open, and they pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. The ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. They entered in the city, and they took it, and they hasted, they hurried, and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. They've led them out, now they're turning back to fight them. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again, and they slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side. And they smote them, and they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive, and they brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness wherein they chased them, when they were fallen on the edge of the sword, until they were consumed, then all the Israelites returned unto Ai, and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city he took for a prey unto themselves, according to the Lord, word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai, and made it a heap in perpetuity, a heap forever. It's the word Olam, just continuously, perpetually, even a desolation unto this day. Now, the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded they should take his carcass down the tree, cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Then Josue built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man had lift up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings to the Lord, and they sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel, and their elders, and officers, and their judges, stood on this side the ark, on that side before the priests and the Levites, which bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them against Mount Ebal, as Moses, servant of the Lord, commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And after he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, the call it was according to all that was written in the book of the law, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant, that is, that had relationships with them. Now, that is the 8th chapter, and I've gone over it rather hurriedly, but there's just one or two things that we might go back to look at. Back in the first verse, where he told him to take all, it would seem from this verse that all that were capable of bearing arms for a march out of the camp, 30,000. 30,000 formed what's called an ambuscade in one place, and 5,000 were placed in another, and they all gained their positions in the night. Now, with the rest of the army, over and above the 35,000, Joshua appeared the next morning before Ai, which the men of that city would naturally suppose was the whole of the Israelitish army, and consequently be the more emboldened to come out and attack them. Now, some, however, think that the 30,000 men were the whole that were employed on this occasion, 5,000 of whom were placed in ambush on the west of the city, and with the rest, Joshua appeared before the city in the morning. And there are those that think that the king, seeing but about 25,000 coming against him, he had 12,000 persons in the whole city, determined to risk a battle, that he came forth from the city and was defeated by the stratagem that was practiced upon them. Now, in verse 29, where we read there about the king of Ai, that they hanged on a tree, the kings of Canaan, they lay under the same divine curse as their subjects. And I would judge, we could only judge, that these kings were more deeply criminal than the subjects. Now, they reserved this king of Ai for a solemn execution, which would tend to strike terror into the other kings, and would in time contribute to the successes of Israel, and of course it would give their proceedings the stamp of a judicial process and the executing of the vengeance of God upon his enemies. Now, when we get to the closing part of this, I did not notice there's anything difficult that comes up that could not be sufficiently understood on its first reading. So that brings us into the start of the 9th chapter. Now, in this chapter, we're going to have some peculiarities. It deals with a league with the Gibeonites. Notice that first of all that we've got the kings who are combining against Israel. And the Gibeonites see this, and by craft they obtain a league, a covenant, And yet they are condemned, as we will see, to perpetual bondage because of the craft that they practiced upon the children of Israel. However, we will not have time to go into that chapter. Now, we're dealing with really ancient history. History which took place around about 1,500 years before Christ. 1,400 years is Archbishop Usher's dating of this time, 1,400 B.C. That these things, 1,450 B.C., pardon me. And as I mentioned before, we're almost 2,000 years beyond that, and so that would make at least 2,400 years back, 3,400 years, doing this adding off the top of my head and mixing it up a little bit, 3,400 years back that we're looking into history as to what went on. Now, today we have different feelings. As a rule, once we conquer enemies, give them so much and they get so much that oftentimes it seems like that the enemies win the battle. And that nations have greatly prospered, and defeated nations sometimes has got along much better than the conquering nations. We have seen this. We've gone out to fight wars that we believe to be righteous, but we never went through with it, and afterwards it seemed like that we made our enemies stronger and more prosperous than what they ever were before. You don't have to go very far back in history to find out that this was the case. Now, but this was not just a war for some righteous cause. This was a time of divine vengeance that God was taking upon people who had greatly sinned against him and against him whom this curse had been pronounced. Well, that's as far as I can go in this portion. We'll begin our studies with the 9th chapter in our next lesson. Until we meet again around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye.